persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights-on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheibach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheibach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Jerry Scheibach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Remember this? Remember, my friends, nearly 3,000 people died September 11, 2001, when terrorists flew two planes into New York City's World Trade Center, and then a third into the Pentagon. A fourth, believed to be destined for Washington, D.C., crashed in Pennsylvania after passengers tried to overcome the hijackers, killing all of those aboard. Remember Todd Beamer? Let's roll. Also, we pause to remember the earlier 1993 World Trade Center bombing, and don't forget another 9/11 travesty, Obama and Hillary's Benghazi. Tyrone Woods, Sean Smith, Glenn Doherty, and Ambassador Chris Stevens were killed. On 9/11, the 9/11 Memorial and Museum honors victims of the September 11 attacks, along with the earlier 1993 World Trade Center bombing. Families read aloud the names of those who died. That ceremony is interrupted for a moment of silence at 8:46:40 a.m. to reflect upon the moment that the first plane attacked or struck the North Tower. Another pause at 9:03 a.m., commemorating the time the second plane struck the South Tower. And then another at 9:37, the time that the plane hit the Pentagon. And then at 9:59, for when the South Tower collapsed, and 10:03, to commemorate the crash of Flight 93 there in Pennsylvania. And then 10:28, for the time when the North Tower collapsed. And there's no memorial given to the collapse of the New York City's Emergency Operations Center, that 47-story building, at 5:20 p.m., because no lives were lost in that particular collapse. And that's a matter for another show. At 11:30 that night, as President Bush was retiring for the evening, he wrote in his diary, quote, "The Pearl Harbor of the 21st century took place today," end quote. I was in San Jose, California, for a pastor's conference at North Valley Baptist Church under Pastor Treiber. I decided to go in later that morning. I wanted to spend some time alone with the Lord, so I sent my roommate on ahead, and it was Tuesday morning, September 11, 2001. At about 5:45, I was shaving when the thought came to me to turn on the TV. Now, that's unusual, because I never do that so early in the morning, but the thought became insistent, so I thought, okay. I turned it on, and I watched it in my mirror while I was shaving, and then I saw a replay of the plane that had just plunged into that first tower, and I wonder if it wasn't just at about the time, it was pretty close to the time when I began getting the impression to turn on the TV. Like most, I immediately thought, oh man, someone flew their plane into the World Trade Center. How could that happen, you know, kind of thing, and then I stopped shaving and went and turned the volume up to see what was going on, and shortly after I sat down, the second plane struck the South Tower. At that moment, I knew in my gut, we're being attacked. And I went to my knees and I began to pray. And I begged God to have mercy on us. Finally, I called home and comforted my wife as best I could, took care of what was necessary and returned home. And for my first radio broadcast following that attack, I wrote, quote, "God bless America, land that I love, stand beside her and guide her through this night by your light from above." That sentiment was expressed in prayers to God from almost every heart in America following 9/11. As our president recently reminded us, we must never forget. They say as many as 50 suicide attacks were planned. Miraculously, only 3 were successfully launched. Consider for a moment the symbolic significance of those 3 targets. The World Trade Center is clearly a symbol of our economic might. The Pentagon is a symbol of our military might, and the White House, a symbol of the only nation on earth, which was founded upon the belief that all men are created equal and are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. Was it merely a coincidence that out of 50 planned attacks, only these three were launched? Or is there a lesson for us in this? Our founding fathers depended upon the protection of divine providence. They knew we needed God's blessing to survive. But as anyone paying attention can see, many Americans, perhaps you could say legitimately most Americans, have turned to other gods. The love of money is the love of money that is the root of all evil, not money itself. And it's called, by the way, the God of Mammon. Remember, morality doesn't matter. Character doesn't count. It's only about the economy. And many Americans have naively trusted something the Bible calls the God of forces, believing, in effect, that our military might alone would deter anyone from attacking us. Well, 9/11 sure changed all that. The God of Mammon was slapped when the towers fell, and the God of forces was tweaked on the nose. But interestingly, the White House, or Washington, symbol of our God-given rights, was protected by some God-fearing patriots on Flight 93. And you ought to watch that show. It's pretty interesting. Here's a lesson from 9/11 that we don't hear much about. My friends, as we as a nation turn away from the God of our forefathers, we will become increasingly vulnerable to terrorists and tyrants, end quote. Now, this past 9/11, my son, a veteran, served a tour in Afghanistan at Fort Tilghman, by the way, actively engaged in fire assaults repeatedly throughout his tour. He was only 10 or 11 years old when 9/11 occurred, and it is interesting to get his take on this, his reactions. Our kids, you know, are paying attention more than we realize. But we sat together on Tuesday and watched this very moving memorial to 9/11 and wept together as we remembered. This morning, I ran downstairs. It's Thursday, by the way. I'm doing my show a little bit early because I have to leave for a preaching trip on Friday. But I went downstairs this morning, and usually I grab my Bible from my office and then let the dog out of his kennel and take him downstairs and get him outside and all that. And then I do my devotions. But when I came by his kennel, he seemed anxious to get out this morning. So I let him out, took him outside, and realized I had not grabbed my Bible. So I decided I'd use Becky's Bible for devotions this morning. I'm reading in the Gospel of John, and I'm at chapter 8. And I notice in the margins of her Bible some interesting notes. And one of them by verse 32, you know, where it says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." She scribbled Isaiah 61, verse 1, where we are told that Jesus would proclaim liberty to the captives. And I guess she sees a cross reference there, rightly so. And then along in the left margin, she wrote this note, quote, "If we become separated from the truth, then government can separate us from our freedoms," end quote. And I remembered making that statement in a message I preached not long after 9/11. At the bottom of that page, she wrote, quote, "Liberty, divinely endowed rights given by God," and then "freedom, absence of restrictions violating these God-given rights." And then a note by that, "These must be together, liberty and freedom for all." Now, these notes were written in her Bible from a July 4th message I preached at the Lighthouse after 9/11. I would love to hear your story and your reflections on 9/11. So go to our website, brainmassage.net. Again, that's brainmassage.net, and send me an email that relates your story, your 9/11 story, to me. Or you can call at 805-314-2114. You know, I've gotten rid of our 888 number because you don't need an 888 number anymore. Anyway, it just isn't necessary. So our hotline now to reach the Brain Masseur is 805-314-2114. You can call that number, leave a message for me, and then I get back to you if you want me to, you let me know. 9/11 had a huge impact on this show. Before, I dealt with issues pertaining mostly to our youth and the corrosive influence of our increasingly paganized culture on our young people. 9/11 jolted me deeply and made me take a very long look at trends in our culture, and it is not hard to trace the trajectory of those trends and see where it's taking us. And I discerned that there is a clear, undeniable intersection between politics and religion. You cannot separate those things. Religious views and religious viewpoints inform political decisions. Whether we like it or not, it's just the way it is. In other words, if you're atheist, you're secularist, that informs your political policies, and vice versa. I woke up to realize we cannot ignore what is going on in American politics, that it is at once a reflection of society, but it's also an influence that helps shape it. It wasn't hard for me to see the devil in D.C. So I drew the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and began hacking away at the lies, political and otherwise, that Satan is using to drag this nation under God into hell. Presently, folks, I'm in Oregon doing a prophecy conference for Pastor Ron Reasoner of Bridgeway Baptist Church, veteran missionary to Russia, longtime friend and colleague. We are meeting together with some wonderful Oregonians and enjoying our time with Skyview Baptist Church and Pastor White. I'll be in my pulpit Wednesday night, 7 p.m., and we will have a special prayer meeting memorializing 9/11. I hope you'll come and remember with us. We had a Q&A time here Thursday afternoon, and among the very good questions that were presented was whether I believed America would turn back from the precipice and receive an extension, a divine stay of execution before judgment, or if I thought America was too far gone and would be given over to hell. My answer was yes. I believe 2020 will decide, and we will either move to officially turn our back on God and be turned into hell, or we will take a turn back from the maw of hell toward our founding principles. I want to speak more to this on the other side of the break, but remember to read Ezekiel 9 sometime, perhaps today. It tells of God's determination to judge his people for their refusal to repent of their sins. He instructs the destroyers to unsheathe their swords of vengeance in preparation, but then he tells them to wait. He sends the man with the inkhorn by his side to move among his people and find each that sighs and cries for the sins of the people and to put a mark upon them. When this is done, then God sends the destroyers in with the instruction to slay all except those who have the mark of humility. Now, you definitely want the mark of humility on you, my friend, going forward, whether it's forward to victory in 2020 and we restore this nation under God, or if we go to defeat in 2020 and we lose to the Antichrist spirit that will certainly take away our liberties. You definitely want the mark of humility on you and on your family. Join us Wednesday night, where the man with the inkhorn will be present, by the way, to note your humble prayers for this nation under God. And that's the key. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. I'll see you in church. Hold on. I'll be right back.
The science of a brain massage. The brain masseur uses words like fingers to massage your gray matter, forming insights in the mind that stimulate the pituitary to signal the adrenal to release noneparephrine neurotransmitters and to fire these neurons through the sympathetic nervous system affecting the heart. The skilled brain masseur uses incisive logic to arrest our attention and nuanced razor-sharp rhetoric to cut away the tangled knots in our brains. When these knots are removed, the electrical impulse of stimulating insights fire the neurotransmitters so they can leap the synapse gaps. This generates a sparkling effect in the brain that can cause the countenance of a brain massage listener to glow. Additionally, sudden outbursts of energy caused by the release of glucose throughout the body increases the heart rate, while the pituitary gland in the brain releases all five types of dopamine at once. And this creates that sense of euphoria experienced by many brain massage listeners. And that's the science of a brain massage. The Bible says the people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Our children are not informed about our great American heritage, and what they are told are often lies that inspire hatred and not love for our country. This will destroy us. The antidote? A lighthouse provides a guiding light through darkness. We are shining the light of the Bible, guiding families to the safe harbor of God's love and protection. That's why the word lighthouse is in our name. Visit Lighthouse Baptist Church. Call 805-714-7731. Or go to santamarialighthouse.org. How to know if you are a lights on or a lights off listener. If after 5 minutes or less of Pastor Scheidbach's brain massage, sounds like these begin involuntarily emanating from your throat, you are a lights off listener suffering liberal colic syndrome. On the other hand, if this sound rises in your heart at the sound of Pastor Scheidbach's voice, you are a lights on listener reveling in the light of truth, justice, and the American way. Call 805-714-7731 or go to santamarialighthouse.org. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria. Your brain masseur and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Dorian pummeled the Bahamas, leaving in its wake 30 dead. It's been reduced since then to a Cat 1, a Category 1, but it's still threatening as it touches the Carolinas. Our prayers are with you in North and South Carolina. I'll be out, I think it's in, I'm going to be in South Carolina in October. 9/11 is this coming Wednesday. We are presenting a special memorial, humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And I hope you'll join us. 9/11, Wednesday night, 7 p.m. at the Lighthouse. There's some new developments with Al-Qaeda. Now, here's an article headlined. It's in the Foreign Policy newsletter. Al-Qaeda is ready to attack you again. And I'm excerpting from that article. 18 years after 9/11, the terrorist group has found a new home and rediscovered its old mission. It goes on to explain that although Al-Qaeda has been limping and has been virtually dismissed as a threat, it has lately found a new base of operations in Syria and it's itching to strike back. You know, as we reflect on 9/11 and remember that we are vulnerable, this sort of thing can happen. We should remember the essential lessons of that event. And as I pointed out in the last segment, it's impossible to miss the symbolic message of 9/11. We got hit by a people that despise Christianity and hate the spirit of liberty. God allowed them to hit the towers, representing the economic power and might of America, and the Pentagon, representing the military might of America. And these are representative of the gods of America, my friend, money, god of mammon. And then, our force, the god of forces. Washington was targeted but preserved by some God-fearing Christian patriots, by the way, who took down Flight 93. Great movie, you ought to watch it. Washington represents the government established on the founding principles of liberty and justice for all, an acknowledgement of Jesus Christ as Lord and the spirit of liberty. So we are given another chance, and a lot has happened since then. Right now, the country is so polarized, it's increasingly clear that the division is over Christianity and its role in our government. My new book, God's War, is coming out soon, and you'll want to get hold of it because it goes into this question in depth. The left has moved farther away from our founding faith. And the right is increasingly becoming the last remaining home for the faith of our fathers. Democrats, remember, a while back, were split 50-50 between those who desired to affirm their faith in God and those who did not want that to be part of their platform. God got booed in their convention in 2012. Certainly, at least the resolution to acknowledge God in their platform. Recently, the Democrats have declared themselves to be the party of atheists, the witches, the works, and so on. And the problem there is not so much in recognizing the right of each person to believe according to their own conscience. It's just that the atheists and the witches and so on didn't have anything to do with the founding and developing of the freedoms and liberties we enjoy in this country. The fact is, that is a Christian ideal. Letting everybody believe according to their own conscience. That came out of Christianity. The only countries that have liberty are those that are influenced by Christian principles. Because the spirit of the Lord is the spirit of liberty, or the spirit of Antichrist is the spirit of tyranny. And look at it. In countries governed by so-called secularists or other Antichrist governments who would rail against the idea that Jesus would be king, what? We'll not have that man to reign over us, that spirit, like communism, socialism, that crowd. Well, the freedom to believe what you want is denied. The spirit of Antichrist always embraces tyranny. Only the spirit of Jesus Christ promotes genuine liberty. The atheists are not content to live at peace with expressions of Christianity around them, even though Christians have been willing to allow atheists to express their faith. It's just the other side. I don't think you understand that, some of you. They are under the influence of the spirit of Antichrist. All right, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. That spirit is opposed to liberty. You see, I'm sure you've noticed it. The Dems champion everybody's free expression of faith, right? Except biblical Christianity. The Christians, you just need to shut up and sit down and give up what you believe, this kind of thing. Even Hillary said Christians are going to have to give up what they would say. This is the spirit of that crowd, man. They're targeting Christians to silence them on issues of abortion, homosexuality, and whether God made the earth and the heavens or whether they happened by chance, right? Just get rid of God, even out of creation. In California, a scientist working for the University of California, Northridge, was fired after he discovered soft tissue in a Triceratops fossil. Now, what the reason that's of great concern to them is because that proves that dinosaurs roamed the Earth within the last 10,000 years and not 60 million years ago. A university official told that scientist, and his name is Armitage, the school, quote, was not going to tolerate his religion, end quote. Really? Terminating an employee for his religious views is supposed to be contrary to the values of, Californians even, huh? This is an effort to silence a scientist from making his scientific discoveries public or offering his scientific understanding of the meaning of these discoveries. There have been several soft tissue discoveries. It's rocking the evolutionist world. There's no way soft tissue would be present after 60 million years. No way it can survive more than about 4,000 years. Now, earlier, soft tissue was discovered in a fossil dated at 68 million years, a Tyrannosaurus rex. This was explained away as an anomaly in that case because the Tyrannosaurus rex had so much iron in its body, it preserved the tissue. That's what they're saying. It's amazing how liberals today are the most illiberal people in our country. Classical liberals would be turning over in their graves today. Kennedy would not recognize his own party. It's scary how liberal policies line up with Antichrist prophecies. It's really weird. Bernie calls for population control, right, to deal with global warming. And he spouts concerns about overpopulation. Antichrist will eliminate 1/4 of the world's population for him. Yeah, that's a few billion people off the books. That should make these people happy. He's their man, huh? They want to kill babies. Now, that's a thing Antichrist likes to do. Remember Herod and Rama? Yeah. Bernie wants to use abortion for population control. Can anybody spell China? They like price controls. Yeah, Antichrist will establish price controls. Revelation chapter 6, 5 and 6. They like to centralize government power. And the spirit of Antichrist is all over that. You know, globalism is the primary objective of the Antichrist spirit, going all the way back to Nimrod, by the way, the first globalist dictator that wanted to pull a kingdom out from under God. And this is the main thing, you see. The Democrats do not believe America should be a nation under God. They want God out of the picture entirely. They want gun control. Well, Antichrist will be all about disarmament. Yeah, he will win the hearts of the children of disobedience with calls to disarmament, to beat their swords into plowshares. But as soon as he gets all military power into his hands, he will reverse his policy and he'll have the plowshares made into swords. And the Bible says he'll take peace from the earth. Here you got some chick on The View that says that many on the right revere Biden. Excuse me? Yeah, you're kidding me. Anyway, she says, if guns make us safe, America should be the safest country in the world because of all the guns. This kind of simplistic junior high kind of thinking would be dismissed. But today, this sort of thing is taken seriously. Friend, America has always afforded to its citizens the right to bear arms and has, because of that, always had a far greater per capita ownership of guns than any other nation. And a whole lot more freedom, too, by the way. So that's nothing new. Well, we did not start having the problems we face today with all this violence. And just take a look and see who are the ones who are being violent. You know, the left went loony and started interfering with the family, destroying the family with policies that promote divorce, economic policies that drive the family to have both mom and dad working outside the home so the mother's not there to nurture the children. Encouraging deadbeat dads to make babies and run off and live their own life and let the government pay for it with welfare. It's creating a welfare dependency thing, all without fathers in the home. These things make children angry. All liberal policies that have destroyed the families. Now look how angry liberals are. They're the violent ones. Now either Antichrist liberals or Antichrist right wing nuts, so called. It's weird how they call these people right-wing extremists when they're socialists, which is a left-wing thing. I talked about that a few shows ago. But God and country-loving NRA members, as an example, they're not the ones doing this stuff, my friend. The problem is not guns or gun ownership. It's Antichrist politicians messing with our values and pulling this nation out from under God. There's the bottom line. To make people safe by taking away their right to bear arms is totally wrongheaded. You don't make people safe by making them more vulnerable to violent people. What's next? Let's make people healthy by taking away their right to choose what they eat. You know, control what they eat too. Eliminating unhealthy foods by making them illegal will only create a black market for Twinkies. Friend, the problem is human nature. And the only real cure is the gospel. So, San Francisco has declared the NRA to be a domestic terrorist organization. Really, 5 million members strong, Americans across the board of every stripe and color and so on that you can think of, and every sort of background and so on. That's going too far, even for some liberals at the Washington Post, who wrote an article opposing that idea. Deborah Messing calls for blacklisting conservative actors. What? What is this? But liberal Whoopi says, whoa. That's going too far. So even the liberals, some of them, are beginning to get a little concerned about where their party's going. The spirit of Antichrist is opposed to marriage and eating meat. Yeah, you can read about it in 1 Timothy chapter 4. So the Democrat Party today follows policies that basically destroy marriage. And lately, they're increasingly coming out against eating meat. Yeah, both Kamala and Bernie are talking about controlling how much meat you can eat. Another Democrat running for president, a guy named Yang, Andrew Yang, I think, is spouting a UN study that says, you know, the world will be fine if most everyone in the world would become a vegetarian today. Yeah, and moving toward policies that will forbid to marry and command to abstain from meats. Oh yeah, Buttigieg too is in on this. He's coming out against eating meat. Now, anyway, do you find that interesting? Now, I'm going to do some closer examination of all this, but it's uncanny how this election for 2020 is shaping up. It's increasingly becoming about a choice between Christian or non-Christian. That's what it's laying down. Choose you this day, America, who you will serve. If the Lord be God, serve him. If Baal, well, not the government. By the way, I don't have time to explain it, but this whole Baal worship thing was about worshiping the leaders of their government as if they were gods. That's what all that was about. So if the Lord be God, who gives you liberty, or if Baal be God, America is going to have to choose between the government as God or the God of heaven. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is God. Pay attention. And you'll see it. It's amazing. Your vote in 2020 is going to be a vote to go ahead and totally remove America out from under God, and the Democrats are pushing it that way. Or it will be a vote to restore America as one nation under God. It's becoming just that clear. So how will you vote? Now, I've lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. You let me know you see that they're on by calling 805-314-2114. You can leave a message for me. Lights on if you agree. Lights off if you disagree with what I'm saying. And then let me know what you think. Go to our website, brainmassage.net, and send me an email where you could take a little more time and flesh out your thoughts for me. God bless you, my dear friends. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
Call 805-714-7731 or go to santamarialighthouse.org. Your next brain massage is scheduled for Saturday at 12 noon and Sunday at 7 a.m. Call 805-714-7731 or go to santamarialighthouse.org.